Hey everyone, it is great to have you here with me today. Today we're going to be talking about suffering in the Christian life. A lot of times we confuse this, we misunderstand this, but the reality is to want Easter without Good Friday is demonic. Let's get into this. All right, so today we're going to be opening up with Matthew chapter 16. I'm going to really be defending that statement that to want Easter without Good Friday, to want the resurrection without the cross, to want everlasting joy without any suffering is demonic. And I think that comes to us straight from the Gospels. And today I'm going to be using my Word on Fire copy of the Gospels. And if you don't know, this is the most beautiful book, the most beautiful Bible that you can possibly find on the market. So we've got some beautiful artwork in here, some beautiful and wonderful reflections. I'm looking at just this page has reflections from G.K. Chesterton, as well as St. Cyprian of Carthage. Really, really amazing stuff. And so if you're wanting to go deeper in the scriptures, if you're wanting to go deeper into the Gospels, I encourage you to check this one out. They also have Acts, Letters, and Revelation. They have the Pentateuch. And there's a fourth one coming out this year. I've already pre-ordered it, but I can never remember which part of the Bible is going to be. But anyways, let's get into Matthew chapter 16 today. So Matthew chapter 16, verse 21 picks up here. It says, "From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised." Again, you'll see in there, he has to be killed, and on the third day be raised. He can't be raised from the dead, believe it or not, if he doesn't die. That's actually a prerequisite to resurrection, is that you die first. All right, and then he says, "And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him." Think about this. What a moment. Jesus is telling you something is going to happen. You as a human being, as Peter, you're like, "Lord, what are you talking about?" Starts to rebuke God. We all do this in certain ways in our own sense. When we start to sense, you know, rationalize sinning, and we start to rationalize the dumb things that we're doing in our lives or the way that we're living and committing to a sinful lifestyle. But we also do this in ways when we question God, not just question God and just questioning our faith or wondering about certain things, but actually starting to accuse God that he's wrong about the way that he set up the world. It's one thing to be struggling with the teaching or struggling to understand why God has instituted certain teachings in scripture or in church tradition, but it's a whole nother thing to actually understand the teaching and say, "God, no, you got it wrong on this. I'm going to live the opposite of this, or I'm going to encourage and support other people in living contrary to your teaching." You can obviously think of many examples where one might do that. So Peter takes Jesus aside here and he begins to rebuke him, saying, quote, "God forbid it. This must never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, Jesus turns and says to Peter, you know this famous line. You know he's about to drop the rock bottom on him. He says, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." You are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. He says, "You are a stumbling block to me." Now, you remember in certain letters, St. Paul encourages us not to be a stumbling block to other believers, not to be a stumbling block to our brothers and sisters in Christ, to those who are striving to live out this Christian life and looking to us as an example, right? As friends, as family members, as spouses. We're not meant to be stumbling blocks to one another. We're meant to love and encourage and support one another. And actually, especially when it comes to spouses, but this is true for any relationship, we're meant to make it easier for somebody to live the Christian life, not to make it harder for them to live the Christian life. Jesus has given us a great example here, and a really powerful one and a very difficult example, to say, even if somebody is making it difficult for you to embrace your cross, to embrace your suffering wholeheartedly, freely, truly, they're being satanic. He calls him Satan here. Can you imagine coming from the mouth of Jesus? What's a worse name that you could be called than to be called Satan, the actual absolute enemy of God, right? He says, "Get behind me, Satan." Why? Because St. Peter is saying, no, you can be glorified and have your resurrection without the cross. You don't have to do that. And God can be glorified, obviously, without dying on the cross. I think that that's possible. But it wouldn't be possible for us to be glorified, for us to have eternal life, if Jesus had not gone and done that for us. And so that is something that is really, really important for us to understand, that we cannot get in the way of people doing what God has called them to do for their redemption or for the redemption of other people, right? When God has given us a mission in our lives, no matter how ugly and grotesque and difficult and brutal that mission might be, we are not being good Christians, being good people, if we are not allowing other people to embrace their cross, to embrace their suffering. Good Friday is always such a beautiful reminder of that. It's a beautiful reminder of the need, the necessity that we had. God didn't need us, but we needed God. And because Jesus loves us so much, because God the Father loves us so much, he sent his only son down to carry his cross, to be nailed to the cross, to die on the cross in our place. That is a reflection of Good Friday. That is a reflection of suffering. And why you can realize why we have crucifixes in our church, because we remember this as this incredible act of love, this incredible act of God's mercy, this demonstration of God's mercy and love for us. We get to see that in such a powerful, powerful way. And even thinking about this, I mean, St. Peter probably had seen crucifixions before, right? So he's thinking, this is my best friend. This is the man I love with all my life. I've given up everything to follow him. This is the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And here he is predicting his own crucifixion, predicting his own suffering. And St. Peter says, God, we cannot have this. Jesus, he says, God, forget it. Forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you. And he rebukes Peter. He says, get behind me, Satan. You cannot get to Easter Sunday. You cannot experience the fullness of life that I have waiting for you in heaven if I don't go through with this. And so what is that in our own lives? What is the cross that we're being called to carry that God has given to each and every one of us? It looks different, of course. And Jesus is going to go on to describe our need to pick up and carry that cross. Picking up in verse 24 here, he says, then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone wants to become one of my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if they gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? And then he goes on to describe the Son of Man coming back in his glory. Now, I really love that there because he literally says very clearly, if you want to be one of my followers, pick up my cross and follow me. There's no day, obviously, other than Good Friday or better than Good Friday to reflect on that image of Jesus picking up and carrying his cross. If you've ever seen the famous movie, The Passion of the Christ, they portray this better than anything ever has in the history of humankind. To be able to see the gore and the suffering and the pain that Jesus went through on our behalf, to see that, and then to think about these words, right? To think about being there, right? If you do some Lectio Divina or you watch the movie, to think about one of these many witnesses who watched Jesus brutally murdered, brutally tortured and crowned with thorns and carrying his cross and hanging up on the cross with all the marks and scars and open wounds and his literally every ounce of his blood pouring forth from his body. To think about that. And then to think about, I just always imagine this having a flashback to this moment. You're one of his disciples and you have this flashback to where he says, if anyone will be one of my followers, let them deny themselves, pick up their cross and follow me. Follow me where? To Calvary. We get to see where you're picking up his cross, your cross and following him. You get to see Jesus carrying his cross. And it's like, that's what I got to do. I got to follow him. It's amazing to think about how many people, how many Christians today, we have this prosperity gospel stuff where God just wants you to thrive and be happy and have the fullness of life and be rich and successful. And it's like, maybe he does want that for some of us. There's no doubt. God does want some of us to be financially successful and to live good, comfortable, happy lives. But all of us are going to have some type of cross. All of us are going to have some type of suffering. And to tell Christians that God just wants you to be happy, it makes no sense in light of Good Friday. It makes no sense in light of the suffering that Jesus went through. It makes no sense in the light of suffering that Jesus went through and him telling us that we had to pick up our cross and follow him if we were going to be one of his followers. If we were going to be one of his disciples, this is what we must do. Deny ourselves, pick up our cross and follow him. Does the cross seem too heavy sometimes? Yes. Does the cross seem unfair sometimes? Yes. Is the cross painful and difficult to bear? Absolutely. But we're still called to carry it. And this is something we have to keep in mind whenever it comes to, do we go to the wedding? Do we say the difficult thing? Do we stand up, even though it might cost us our jobs, even though it might cost us our friendship, even though it might cost us family ties or whatever it is? Yes, we embrace the cross that God has given to us. We stay prayerful so that we can understand what direction God's calling us to follow him. We understand that we stay close to the Lord and we want to stay in a state of grace so we can properly discern what that cross looks like and what we're called to do. But we absolutely have to embrace it, even though it's ugly, difficult, painful, and full of suffering, we know that ultimately it's what leads us to eternal life. It's what leads us to a beautiful life with Christ, not only in this life, but obviously for all eternity in heaven. So I hope this has been encouraging for you. If you like this video, I encourage you to drop a like, to subscribe to our YouTube channel here, subscribe to our podcast, Seeking Excellence Podcast with Nathan Crankfield, and stay tuned for more content like this that will help to encourage you in your spiritual life and your overall Christian life, your daily walk with Christ. So pick up your cross, follow him, trust that he has plans for you, plans to prosper you, plans that you can have a great life that might be a life full of suffering, but will ultimately lead to eternal life with him in heaven. All right, God bless you. Until next time, be your best.